This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily broadcast dedicated to keeping you in touch with many of today's most important issues and examining how those issues directly affect our traditional values. And now, here is author and constitutional lawyer, Phyllis Schlafly.
This year's spectacular Rose Bowl game attracted a phenomenal 35 million viewers because it featured what we want: rugged men playing football and attractive women cheering them on. Americans of every class, men and women, were glued to their television sets, and nearly 95,000 spectators watched from the stands. The runaway success of this game proved again that stereotypical roles for men and women do not bother Americans one bit. Political correctness lost out as all male teams battled and women cheered. It's too bad that male sports are being eliminated on most college campuses. Except for Texas, USC, and a few other places, radical feminism rules in the athletic departments at the expense of popular male sports. Feminists oppose anything that is all male or all female unless it is gay marriage. They won't be able to ban the Rose Bowl game anytime soon, but the Feminist Majority Foundation put this warning on its website, quote, "By encouraging boys to become aggressive, violent athletes, and by encouraging girls to cheer for them, we perpetuate the cycle of male aggression and violence against women," close quote. The feminists are censoring out hundreds of traditional manly college sports teams. If your favorite college once had a wrestling, baseball, or track team, check again. There's a good chance it has been canceled. Several years ago, Howard University's athletic director canceled both its wrestling and baseball teams on the same day. It should surprise no one that Howard University's male enrollment has dropped to only 34% compared to 66% female. After the feminists complained about Boston University's sports program, the university canceled its football team that had been in existence for 91 years. It's no surprise that male enrollment at BU is now down to 40%.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Would you like to be better informed about the pervasive influence of the feminists in our schools and colleges, the media, and the military? Go to our website, eagleforum.org, and you'll find helpful up-to-date information about Phyllis Schlafly's regular reports and her new book titled Feminist Fantasies. That's at eagleforum.org. And join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
And defender of the First and Second Amendment rights, straight from the ghetto, the prisoner of South Central, Terry Anderson.
What's with this Terry Anderson guy?
He's articulating a popular rage.
Stupid people of America, good evening. If you ain't mad, you ain't paying attention. Folks, this is how it starts every single time. Every industry in this country that's overrun with illegal aliens started their demise the same way. You're not going to believe this story. A man named Charlie Burse, president of the Sydney Coal Company in Coal Run, Kentucky, did the unconscionable of the American worker. He started in the typical way that they all start. He said, quote, "It is common knowledge. It is common knowledge that the work ethic of the Eastern Kentucky worker has declined from where it once was," unquote. He wrote to the State Mining Board and said that productivity had been affected in the coal mines there. His remedy to that? He asked the mining board to relax an English-only policy in the mine so that he could bring in, quote, Hispanic workers, unquote. I didn't make that up. I didn't make it up. I read it. It's got to be true. He said he wanted them to relax the English-only policy in the mines that were there for safety so that he could bring in Hispanic workers. Not new workers, not productive workers, not fresh workers, not young workers, not experienced workers. Hispanic workers. Racist. That is a racist statement. 1% of the immediate area there is Hispanic. Less than 1%, which means there aren't a lot of illegal aliens there, at least not Hispanic ones. The reason? With an English-only policy in the mines for safety reasons, there's very little work there for illegal aliens to do so. Guess what? They're not going to go there. They're going to go somewhere else. The Appalachian area there has always been a poor part of the country. There's not a lot of opportunities there, and an $18 an hour job in a coal mine is a big deal. And sometimes it's the difference between eating and not eating. Needless to say, this president bursts, his words raised the anger level to a fever pitch there in eastern Kentucky. When asked what he thought, a disabled miner named Homer Black said, quote, I'm quoting, folks, quote, they bring Mexicans in here, they'll get them killed. These people ain't going to put up with it, unquote. I'm going to read it again. He said, if you bring Mexicans in here, you'll get them killed. These people ain't going to have it. You understand what he was saying, folks? He's not against Mexican people. He's against Mexican people coming there and taking the only living that they have in the Appalachians, which is coal mining. Those people work hard. They die a lot of times, too, because the work is very dangerous, but they are paid well, $18 an hour and up. So therefore, American workers will do it. Remember that old thing about American workers won't work? They don't want to work. There's jobs they won't do. No, they won't do them at a certain level of pay. But when they are paid decently, they will do the work. And now they're talking about, guess what, importing an invasion to put those people there out of work. This is out-blanking-rageous. Outrageous. Another guy, 23-year-old Shannon Gibson. Remember that name, folks, Shannon Gibson, who recently took the test for his, quote, green card. That's a card that they use that allows them to go underground. It's an identification card for unskilled mine workers so they can at least get broken in going underground. The green card allows them to go underground, and Shannon said, quote, once I get my green card, well, I'm going to work hard. But then he says they're just looking for more workers who will work cheap and long, unquote. Folks, it's the same old flim-flam, the bait and switch, the grift and graft, the same old crock that we hear over and over and over. The labor officials are claiming that there's a 6,000 job deficit in West Virginia and Kentucky. That's the same lying yip-yap that you hear from the building industry, the hotel industry, and every other industry willing to stick it to the American worker. I knew it was a lie when I first read it, but then I read further and I was reaffirmed in my thoughts. United Mine Workers union organizer Tim Miller said the shortage was nonsense and called it, quote, the biggest farce out there right now, end quote. This is what they do, folks. They say there's a shortage and that they need to bring in foreign workers, but the shortage is always a lie, and in some cases a damn lie. It is a lie. In the past 2 years, listen to this, Kentucky has issued 13,000 of these mine green cards, work permits, to workers. People applying. That doesn't mean they get the job. It just means now they are eligible to get hired. 13,000 have been issued. Now, how much was that shortage? 6,000 workers they claim they're short. During a recent week, Kentucky labor officials counted, listen to this, 7,187 people who were actively seeking mining work. And of that 7,000, 5,390 had prior mine experience. 6,000 short, 7,100 looking for work. Somebody's telling a lie. Union man Miller said that there was 14,000 union miners in western Kentucky. And we're talking about eastern Kentucky. He said there's 14,000 laid off union miners in western Kentucky that he could get to work today if these people would only hire him. But no, they won't hire him. They don't want them there. They want to claim a shortage, and then they want to bring in, quote, Hispanic workers, unquote. Then he made a profound statement. He says, quote, if they can flood the market with Hispanic workers, if they can get away with paying a guy $8 an hour, the next guy will be willing to work for $7, unquote. Isn't that the truth, folks? Isn't that what it's all about, getting that $18 an hour starting pay down to $8 an hour or maybe less? That's all it is. This is about money. It's all all about money. It's always been about money. Nothing else matters but that bottom line. They're already making plenty of money with this business, but they want to make more. They want to give more to the shareholder. They don't care about that poor guy who happens to be white or black who is a miner in Eastern Kentucky or West Virginia. It doesn't matter. They're going to bring in foreigners to do the work, and they don't care if they're legal or illegal. When they use the term Hispanic, trust me, they're talking about illegal aliens. That's the person they can exploit the much and the most, and that's the person that's going to work the cheapest. Now, you remember 23-year-old Shannon Gibson who said he just wanted to work? Well, here's a guy that said when they asked him about it, he says they just want somebody that they can work longer and cheaper. That was his statement. Now, earlier this month, Shannon stood in a cold outside the Kentucky office of the Mine Safety and Licensing Branch in Coal Run, Kentucky. There were 32 other men there with him in that line. Some were from as far away as Illinois and Ohio who could not get work in their home states. And they were all there to take this test. Well, Shannon passed it easily. But 3 days later, after several calls to many mines to get a job, he was still unemployed. He passed the test with flying colors, but they wouldn't hire him. That is unbelievable to me. And when asked, he said, quote, they don't want to hire inexperienced miners, but they'll bring Mexicans in here and let them work, unquote. He was angry, and I understand his anger, and I applaud his anger. As an American, he should be angry, and the rest of us around the country who have been displaced and work should be angry. But I got a feeling that those people are going to take it just a little bit different if this is trying to be pushed on them. I hope they do. And if they stand up, I'll go down there and stand up with them. He was angry, folks, and when asked about the miner shortage, he simply said, quote, the shortage is bull crap, unquote. How eloquent, how accurate, and how sad. An American worker. Unbelievable. This is the Terry Anderson Show on the All-American Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Roy Burns, President of the Association for Los Angeles Deputy Sheriffs. Many of us in law enforcement have come from military backgrounds. On Friday, November 11th, we celebrate Veterans Day. In 1921, an unknown World War I soldier was buried in Arlington National Cemetery. Ceremonies occurred earlier in England and France, where an unknown soldier was buried in each nation's highest place of honor. These memorial services all took place on November 11th, the anniversary of the end of World War I, which was 11 a.m., the 11th hour, the 11th day of the 11th month. This day is now known as Veterans Day. On November 11th of each year, we honor the U.S. veterans who fought on our behalf to protect and serve, the highest calling our nation has. I served in the United States Marine Corps before becoming a deputy sheriff, and say to you, Semper Fidelis. I'm Roy Burns. Thanks for listening.
This is the Terry Anderson Show, and we talk about illegal immigration, and I want to remind everybody out there that has friends and relatives who cannot hear the sound of my voice, they can hear us live by going to our website. That's theterryandersonshow.com. I want to welcome all the folks listening tonight in Phoenix, Arizona, KFNX, 1100 AM, KDON, KDWN, 720 AM, Las Vegas, Nevada, and all the folks listening all across the country on RBN, that's the Republic Broadcast Network. Welcome to the Terry Anderson Show. Let me give out that caller number now. Those who want to call, agree, disagree, curse me out, but don't forget, you get back all that you give and then some. That number is 1-866-870-5752. That's 1-866-870-5752.
And now it's time for the most horriblest clown of the week.
Yes, it is time for the most horriblest clown of the week. You folks remember HB 4437, the not perfect but pretty damn good house bill? Well, it's causing quite a stir amongst the lawless of this country. The latest to display his anti-law and order stance is Pomona City Councilman Marco Robles. Let me give you a second so somebody can call him up and tell him we're bad-mouthing him on the air. Marco Robles, City Councilman of Pomona here in California. Imagine this, folks, an elected official who asked his city council to consider a resolution opposing a bill that will uphold laws. That is unbelievable. Robles said that this federal bill is creating an environment that engenders fear among the community members, creating a place where people won't want to leave their homes. Good! I love it. I want them scared to death. I want them shaking in their boots. I want them to be known as the shake and shiver community. I don't want them ever to walk outside until it's time to get on the bus. Back to where they came from. That's what I want. Why shouldn't they be afraid? They are breaking the law. I will say it again, folks. Imagine an elected official who brings forth a resolution opposing the enforcement of laws. This is absolutely surreal when you think about it. It's so basic to me that an elected official's job is to see that all laws are enforced. And when I hear one fighting the enforcement of laws, my first thought is whether race and racism could be the reason. In this case, I would bet money on it. These people have the same culture he has, the same race he has. They have the same allegiance probably to the same foreign country and speak the same foreign language he does. Therefore, he is for them and is willing to break the laws for them. Senor Robles is also concerned that H.R. 4437 would make prosecutable smugglers out of people and organizations that aid illegal aliens. Good again! If you're aiding illegal aliens, if you're aiding and abetting them, giving them shelter, labor, or anything else, you are breaking a federal felony. Why shouldn't you be prosecuted? But no, he wants it to stay the way it is. He doesn't want anybody prosecuted. But I guarantee you, if this was black folks coming from the West Indies or coming from Africa or Eastern European white people or Asians from anywhere in Asia, I guarantee you he'd be saying, we got to get these illegal aliens out of here. But no. The vast majority of them are the same race as him, and he's for it. Just like Villaraigosa, just like Cruz Bustamante, just like Fabian Nunez, and all the rest of these racist politicians who are only for these people because they look, sound, and act like them. That is sad, and I never thought I would see it in this country. This week, Marco Robles, you are the most horriblest clown of the week. All right, folks, let us get to our guest right now, a guy that I have the utmost respect for, and I've got a lot of questions I want to ask him, and I'm sure the folks have a lot of questions they want to ask him, too. Ray Haynes, Assemblyman, how you doing, Ray?
I'm doing great, Terry. How are you?
Good to talk to you, buddy. I'm doing just fine. Give us the status on the Cal Border Police Initiative, because I get so many emails. People want me to ask you what happened to the money, is it going to happen again, is it going to go on the ballot, what's going to happen? Tell us.
Well, we fell about 100,000 signatures short in the last go-round.
That was a pretty good showing, no?
Yeah, and what happened was I'd been working on some folks to, I knew I was about 100,000, 150,000 bucks short in terms of what I needed to finish it off. And so I'd been working some people, and some folks that I thought were going to come through with the money didn't, and that's how we ended up falling short. So I refiled. We refiled the initiative at the end of December. It has come out from the Attorney General within the last week. So we're in the process of getting petitions printed up. And what I've been doing since, or in the meantime, there have been a couple of folks that I've been talking to. What I'm looking for, to be real blunt, is, and I've talked to a couple of people about doing this, is getting, and no other way to say it except some kind of sugar daddy, some guy that is ready to write the check, $500,000 check, to get this thing started and to get it going.
Well, Ray, I'm sure he's out there. All we have to do is find him now, you know?
Well, I will tell you, I've got two people I'm talking to, and there's another couple of groups that have said they were interested, and like I said, the last time they said they were interested and just never came through. So we got one guy out there that I know for sure is seriously interested in doing this. I'm not going to reveal his name at this point in time because I'm still still talking to him, and I've got some of his friends talking to him, telling him why it's important for him to do it. And I think he gets it, but he's a little bit reticent. You know, $500,000 is a big check to write, so he wants to make sure he's doing the right thing. But in the end, what I intend to do is I'm pushing to get this thing going for November. I am not going to ask folks. I'm going to be real blunt at this point in time. I'm not going to ask others to step up to the plate until I know I've secured the money to make this thing happen. And then I'm going to call everybody and say, hey, make it cheaper. If we can get $500,000 seed money, and then I think I can honestly go back to people and say, you know, what we did last time was just an investment in the future.
Well, I tell you, $500,000 would be a real good start on this.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it would. I will tell you, we could get the paid people out immediately, and that would be a great mix with the volunteers. I've got a great network. We got people all up and down the state that want to do this again. We've been like you. I've been getting emails saying, "Let's do it again." We don't give up on this, and it's not my intent, and I do not intend to give up on this. It will be. I'm going to tell you this, Terry. I'm going to tell you this today. California Border Police will be law in this state.
Well, that sounds good to
me. And I'm going
to
keep after it until it is law in this state.
You know,
most of it's just been pitching and finding the right folks and in the right mix at the right time. We've got a great network. We've got people who are fast or who are fixed on doing this thing. We started a movement nationwide. I get calls.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that there's so much going on in the country now where people are attempting the same thing, whether it be they're getting their police force or their sheriff's force involved in immigration reform or whatever. There's a lot of people that looked at the Cal Border Police deal and kind of jumped on it and have followed through with it. It's a tough deal here in California. We've got to get so many signatures. It takes so much money. And I'm not poking any fault with anybody. All I'm saying is, you know, we've got to make it work. That's the thing. Was there any money left over from the last time?
Yeah, we ended up with about $40,000 to $50,000 left over, so we've got enough to seed a start, you know, to get petitions printed and that sort of thing. Like I said, our paid guys ended up turning in about 250,000 signatures. The volunteers ended up turning about 350,000 signatures, and I mean that was enough number wise.
But not enough qualified.
Mm-hmm. As we were doing the caging of the thing, we were doing a pretty good, decent run. We were getting fairly solid, but we were, when we caged it and did the match against voter registration files that when you're getting ready to turn these things in, we ended up 100,000 short. And it was just like, I can't believe this. It was frustrating because, like I said, I had three people on the hook that had said, look, we're ready to put up money, and two of them had said, we're talking in the numbers of 100 to 150,000. They just never came through.
Well, you know, Ray, I always figured when something, I never try to tell people how to do whatever they're doing. I'm not saying you did anything wrong or anybody else did, the people who tried it before you. I always figured, though, what we need to do, we need to mobilize the Army. We need to get the money. And before we put the first person out there to get the signatures, we need to have a nice little chunk of change put away so that it pretty much guarantees the efforts. You know what I mean? And we're not going out there broke thinking the money's going to come later. So if you can get this, as you said, a sugar daddy, nothing wrong with the terminology. If you can get that and get it lined up, man, we're ready to go.
Well, and that I'm purposed. I've told all the folks that are involved. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm not going to ask anybody out there until I know I've got all the ducks in a row. We did the last one, and I will admit we did it on a wing and a prayer. It was based on some solid promises. But the one thing I did learn in this process was a solid promise is not a check.
No, and Ray, like the man said, show me the money.
Yeah, exactly.
Show me the money.
It, you know, and I learned something. This was the first initiative I'd ever done. I learned something. And
well, we appreciate you doing it. I get a lot of criticism for different things, but I know you must get some too. But we appreciate you doing it. It was important. I think it woke up the country, just the fact that we attempted something like this. And I believe it can be done. I know the American people will vote it in once it gets qualified. But the problem is getting it out here and getting it qualified. And the other problem I'm worried about, Ray, is the troops. I know a lot of people are willing to go and gung-ho and everything. But you know what? I think people are wearing down. I don't mean as activists or as Americans. I think on stuff like this with petition drives, I think people are just, we've gone to the well so many times with the troops out here. I don't know how many times we can keep doing it.
Well, and that's why I am not going to go to them and say, hey, start signing up until I know I've got the resources to get us across the line.
Well, that sounds good.
There's nothing in politics like a W. And this time, I'm not asking anybody to sacrifice their time or their effort or their money until I know we're going to get a W on this one. And we really do need a W.
We're due for one, Ray. We really are. There's some fabulous things happening in the country right now, but we need one here in California. We really do. We want you to stay in touch with us. You know, as always, we will help. We will do whatever we can. And just kind of give us a timeline when you can, whenever you get it, and you know, you get things lined up and get it ready. Just let us know so we can start getting the word out and getting people ready to mobilize. That's important. November would be very, very well timed for us, you know?
You bet. And you will be the first phone call I make as soon as I know things are working out, because I know every time I appeared on your show, the hits on our website would jump up. And people were contributing money.
I appreciate that. Just call John and Ken second.
Yeah. You're number one, Terry.
All right, Ray. We appreciate you coming on. Just keep in touch. Let us know how it's going. We will get involved. We promise you that.
I bet. I will. I will. And thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. You take care.
You too. Talk
All
to
right,
you.
Folks. Ray Haynes. We're going to do this, folks. We really are going to do it. It's just a matter of when and how. It takes time. Excuse me. The Assemblyman was very honest about one thing. He made some mistakes, and it was a learning process. He learned on this, and he didn't know some things, and he knows better now. He knows what it's going to take. So if that's what it takes, fine. A lot of things happen in this second and third attempt, and I'm not faulting him at all. I just hope we make it the next time. I know we can, but it takes money. And if people send in the money when he asks, and he's got a nice chunk of money, we can get it done. I am looking forward to that. All right, folks, we got a break coming up, but before we do that, I'm going to go to phones. Let's take Clyde calling from Oregon. Clyde, what do you hear? What do you say?
Yeah, have you heard about Ron Saxton?
Yes, I have. He's running for governor.
Ron Saxton is running in the Republican primary for governor of Oregon, and I can tell you he's the most wonderful voice rising. Perhaps a new champion of the cause in the Northwest. He does not like George Bush's guest worker amnesty and has said so publicly.
Wow.
He does not want illegal aliens to receive anything but an invitation to go home.
I like him.
And I do believe if people want to visit Vote Saxton, SAXTON.com. They can hear his radio commercial ad if they have the player in the computer, in which you can hear him in his own voice and the announcer speaking up loud and clear. I believe that he would be a wonderful ally in the network and the fight to preserve America.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do, Clyde. We'll check him out, maybe get him on for a couple minutes and see what he's got to say, if he's willing to come on. Any voice that speaks up on this issue, I don't care what state they're from or principality or anything else, I would love to have him come on and say a few things. I want to thank you for that, Clyde. Call us again.
He's not a one-issue candidate. He has other issues.
And that's okay. We won't hold that against him.
But on this issue, he was in debate with the other two Republican candidates, and he shamed them real good.
It's not hard to shame a Republican nowadays. All right, Clyde, thanks for the call.
Best wishes.
Got people all over the country, folks, lining up to do the bidding of the American folks out here. You know, that monologue I did about those people, those coal miners there in the East, that is outrageous. And if you don't understand what that means, what it means is that's one of the last bastions of the American worker, the Appalachians. They haven't been invaded yet. They've got a stronghold there of American workers who are working hard, dangerous work, but they're getting paid well. And these American employers can't stand that. They can't stand it. They've got to send in the invader. They've got to send him there and make sure those wages are jeopardized, make sure the way of life there is jeopardized, flood that area with jackpot babies and the grandmothers and everybody else, and just take it right down to the level of California. That is outrageous. And I got a feeling that those good folks in West Virginia and Kentucky are not going to have it. I hope they don't. And like I said, if they stand up, I will go down there and stand up with them. They should not allow it. The first one that gets there, protest. Don't allow it. Not on a racial basis, on a legal basis. That's what I'm talking about. We're going to take a break now, folks. We're going to hear Senor Navarro, one of my favorite quotes. This is a real American, folks. Or you let me know if you think he is.
These are the critical years for us as a Latino community. We're in the state of transition. And that transformation is called the founding of America. Latinos are now becoming the majority. Because I know the time and history is on the side of the Chicano Latino community. It is changing in the future and in the present the balance of power of this nation. It's a game of power. Who controls it? You are like the generals that command armies. We're in a state of war. This Proposition 187 is a declaration of war against the Latino-Chicano community of this country. They know the demographics. They know that history and time is on our side as one community, as one people, as one nation within a nation, as a community that we are, the Chicano-Latino community.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Hi, TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. I'm Jonathan Weiss on News Talk 870 KRLA, where your opinion counts.
Are you losing your hair? Give your confidence a boost with Avacor. Now with Boost for fuller, thicker-looking hair.
Every time I use Boost by Avacor, somebody comments that my hair looks great.
Boost not only makes my hair look fuller, but feel thicker. I love it.
Avacor with Boost can give you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
Most of my family is bald. It happened to me, too. I tried Avacor. In just 3 months, my hair came back.
I've been losing my hair for 17 years. I tried Avacor. I was told I would see astonishing results in 4 months, and they were right.
Find out how you can get up to 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-478-5410. That's 1-800.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Free trade area of the Americas, a roadmap for economic and political fusion of our hemisphere. If approved, Americans will lose control of their own future. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then tell Congress to say no to the FTAA.
Attention, Americans. This is a call to action. Our country is in an undeclared state of national emergency. Mexico has challenged the honor, dignity, and sovereignty of our nation by letting its citizens and military cross into American soil. Standoffs between the Mexican military and our law enforcement officers have taken place. Every day, thousands of Mexicans and others come into our country illegally, disregarding our laws. Americans are murdered, raped, and victimized by illegal aliens at an estimated rate of more than 1,000 per year. On May 6th, join me, Frank George, Lupe Marino, Shannon McGauley, Missy Stebbins, and Terry Anderson in protesting George W. Bush for his unwillingness to stop the illegal alien invasion of our country. Stand up for America. Join us in Crawford, Texas. Visit us on the web at areckoning.com. That's areckoning.com. This is a joint project of Latino Americans for Immigration Reform, the Texas Minutemen, and all patriotic Americans. George, we're coming.
This is the Terry Anderson Show, and we talk about illegal immigration. I'm going to get to everyone you call us. The border's filled, but what's new about that? No brag, just fact, folks. I'm going to get to everybody there, but first we're going to have a word from our sponsor, Mr. Jonathan Rose of the Capital Gold Group. His website, safeasgold.com. Phone number, 1-800-510-9594. Jonathan, what do you hear? What do you say?
Well, it's a fine evening, and hello to you, Terry, and all your listeners out there. I know we're normally here talking about locking our borders. Well, it's time to lock down our money that we have in our pocket and in our bank accounts.
Lock it or lose it.
Lock it or lose it. Because let's face it, our dollar has been shrinking at an alarming rate, and I don't know if you've touched this with any of your listeners, Terry, but something that's very big that's been whispers within our organization is the fact that the country Iran, on March 20th, they're talking about converting their currency, which is the Iranian bourse, and liquidating everything they have in dollars and turning it into euros, which we all know is backed by gold. Now, if they do this currency conversion that they're planning on doing, it's going to hurt our dollar dramatically. We could see a further 30% fall in the dollar. And if that happens, you're going to see gold skyrocket. It's already skyrocketing right now, but you can very well see it blast past $1,000 an ounce extremely quickly. So if you want to know how you can protect your monies, capitalize on market trends right now, this is very real. The Iranian bulls, they're looking at changing their currencies from dollars to euros. Forget nuclear missiles. This is the way of stinging us economically. But gold is an asset you can hold on to. It's going to protect what you have. You can email about protecting and hedging yourself with solid gold by calling us at 1-800-510-9594. You'll get our 2006 gold guide, and it will show you how to protect yourself. 1-800-510-9594. Call right now for your free copy.
Jonathan, it would be really sad for people out here listening now who haven't made up their mind or decided to diversify their assets to look up one day and gold is $700, $800, $900, and for them to say then, I should have done it that night. You know, it would really be sad. Now is the time, folks. This will go up. It's going to happen. We are living in those type of times, and it is time to hedge your bets, to fix your income, to diversify your assets, make sure that you have some of it covered. Jonathan's not asking you to put it all in gold. He's asking you to put some of it in gold because that's the way you protect yourself. Am I correct, Jonathan?
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, I've been predicting gold could break $400, then $500, now $600. For the past 6 months, we're featured in Forbes magazines. We're endorsed by them personally. We're endorsed by the likes of people like Michael Reagan, G. Gordon Liddy, and obviously even yourself, Terry. There's a reason why people choose the Capital Gold Group to purchase
right.
Tech they're built with, and that is because we offer excellent customer service, and we're the number one country in America today. Give us a call. You'll get the gold guide. Get the facts for yourself. That's definitely a good place to start. 1-800-510-9594, or you can go to our website, safeasgold.com.
You hear that, folks? Give them a call, 1-800-510-9594. I will give that number out again at the end of the show for those who were moving around and couldn't get your pencil handy. Jonathan, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks, sir. Take care now.
Okay, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. If you want to diversify, that's the way to do it. Protect yourself. Don't put it all there, but put some of it there. It's a wise thing. It really is. Let's get to the phones now, folks. Let's go to Barbara calling from Huntington Beach. Barbara, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hi, Terry.
Hey.
So glad to talk to you. Have you unthawed from Washington yet?
A little bit. Still got a little frostbite on my toes, but you know how it is.
Right. I wanted to share with your listeners, Terry, and welcome them to our meeting on Wednesday night, that's February 22nd, to hear a guy who stands in total support of our immigration laws, and that is Police Chief Bill Hunt, who is challenging Mike Corona for Orange County Sheriff. This guy is quite incredible. He has taken a stand on the forefront to stand for enforcement of our immigration laws. We hope people will attend our meeting, which is, as I said, on Wednesday, February 22nd at 7:30 p.m. at the Garden Grove Women's Club. That is at the corner of Chapman and Gilbert in Garden Grove. We'll be happy to give you all the details if you want to call our toll-free number, 866 no illegal 877. I'm sorry, no illegals. We'll give you all the details. And, Terry, there's going to be a very exciting announcement that night by Jim Gilchrist, our own Minuteman founder, about a very exciting situation that's going to be coming down very, very quickly. So we hope people will attend our meeting. And if, like I said, if you want additional details, just call our toll-free number, which is 877-NO-ILLEGALS.
All right, kid. Everybody, this is going to be a good deal. I think Sheriff Corona has been making noise lately about illegal immigration because it's election time. That's how they usually do. Here's a guy that's going to put his feet to the fire, and that is a good thing for us as Americans.
That is so true, and let's not forget that Sheriff Mike Corona endorsed Nativo Lopez.
I remember it well.
We have to remember that, and we have to look at supporting a guy who intends to bring integrity back to the Orange County Sheriff's Department. And we hope you'll be there, welcome him, meet, greet, and chat with him, and also hear this exciting announcement by Jim Gilchrist.
All right, kid. Thanks for the call.
God love you, Terry.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, let's go to Tom calling from Rapid City, South Dakota. Tom, what do you hear? What do you say?
Ah, Mr. Anderson, you are an American patriot.
Well, thank you, sir.
And I was telling your screener that I had to vent. I don't know where to start, though. Mr. Haynes, I really do hope he gets things done. That's That would be a big help.
Yeah, it would. And well, you know what? It's one of the things that we do have going. We didn't happen last time, but it's in the mix, Tom. And all we can do is hope, and hope it's a little more organized this time where we get it done. But I don't, you know, I'm going to be real positive about it. That's how I feel.
I heard you talking about your clown of the week, and Mr. Robel sounds like he's got the IQ of a duck.
Well, I think you're being a little harsh on the Mallard family there, but it's people like him, Tom, that don't seem to get it, and I say that tongue in cheek because I think they do get it. I think it's strictly racial. When these people look and talk and have the same allegiance that he has, I think that's what it's all about. I'm not afraid to say that, and a lot of people are. But let's face it, they never stand up for anybody from the West Indies or from Africa or anywhere else. It's only for Latin people, and that's really sad, and it's very racist.
And it is. I mean, there is such thing as reverse racism.
Well, this is, I don't know how reverse it is, but it is racism. Well, you know what I mean?
Well, from where you're standing, I can understand that, yes. Yeah.
All right, Tom, I got to move on, buddy. Thanks for the call. Is it cold up there in Rapid City?
It is quite cold, Terry, quite cold.
We're having a cold wave down here. It's about 60 degrees.
Well, hey, I will email you a couple ideas I had.
I appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, Tom, you take care, buddy. All right, let's go to Jennifer calling from Orange, California. Jennifer, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hi, Terry.
How are you?
Good to talk to you. I just want to tell you and everybody listening about a story I saw on the Channel 4 News this Friday night, and it has to do with the puppy mills that are being operated in Mexico and the fact that smugglers smuggle these poor little puppies across the border, of course, illegally. They hide them in boxes and suitcases in any way they can get them here. Now, the city of Ontario, which is, by the way, where I spent my childhood and grew up, has stepped up to the plate once again and did a sting operation.
That's good.
And went to a park in Ontario and busted some of these people that were selling these poor puppies that are too young to leave their mothers, basically, is one problem, because these aren't old enough to even be away from the mother.
But these are all
they're not healthy.
These are all pedigree dogs, right?
Well, supposedly.
Right.
But
right.
Who knows?
Right. Right.
There's no way to know. And they're selling these puppies from anywhere from $100 to I think about $400 each, without papers, of course. But yeah, they busted some of these people, and I just wanted to make people aware that this is happening. And I myself plan to do something about whatever I can do to help stop these people.
Well, no, Jennifer, I saw the story on the news, and it was really heartbreaking to
it
see.
It sure was.
They had no compassion for the dogs or for the people they were selling them to either. But I would caution people, you know, a deal isn't always a deal. And somebody who gets a dog this way, you don't know what you're getting. You don't know if he's had shots. You don't know if he's got the raven heebie-jeebies. You don't know what he's got. And it's just not fair to the animals because of the way they're being treated by those who bring them in. So that was a very heart-rendering story, and you're absolutely right.
Yeah, it really was. In fact, I'm going to be in touch with my police department here.
Good.
And other organizations that I think might be able to help, and I'm going to make it a project of mine to help to bust these people, because I think that this is, I mean, how much lower can these smugglers go?
That's right.
So I'm going to do what I can to help put a stop to this, and I just wanted to make people aware that this is going on.
We appreciate it, Jennifer. Thank you so much.
Did you hear about the puppies that had
the drugs inside?
Liquid heroin sewn inside the stomachs.
Yes, I did. That was terrible.
And were dying from infections.
Just terrible.
Yes.
Thanks for the call, Jennifer.
Thank you, Terry.
All right. What she's referring to there, folks, there were some puppies that they had sold drugs inside and shipped them back east. And my same people doing it, you know, what can I tell you? And they were, the puppies got infected and they got caught and the people got busted. But, I mean, it's just outrageous. People will do anything to make money. It is outrageous. Let's go to Tommy calling from Las Vegas, Nevada.
No, I'm not in Las Vegas. I've got an Escondido.
Oh, Tommy, what do you hear? What do you say,
hey,
buddy?
I always like that Sleepless in Seattle stuff. I come on that one guy's show there in Vegas last Friday night. I just told the truth. That's what I love about you. You know, this invasion's been going on for 40 years. I'm so glad that people are finally getting hip to what's happening. I've been waiting for 40 years now. They used to say it was, when I grew up with Mexicans over in Bowen Park in El Monte, and they used to call it cockroaching. Now, American citizens, it's like the locust. Do you remember what they used to do to the fields in the Midwest? They just take everything and destroy everything around them. That's what we've got going down here in the Southwest now.
We're being strip mined, you know?
I know, and the thing that I love about you is they have to take a stand, block that border, and start. You got the same thing I say. You can set up checkpoints. Remember about 9 months ago, they set up those they picked up about 400 illegals. Well, the Mexican people in Southern California went crazy when the United States of America started doing what it should be doing.
It's job.
The workplaces, at every place, that these people are breaking the law, and they should be taken back to Mexico.
You know what, Tommy? It amazes me because the hypocrisy in Mexico, they get on us for doing it, but they do the very same thing. We should emulate them. We should do exactly as they do on voting, on people working illegally in their country, on illegal immigration to their country. We should emulate Mexico because they're very efficient when it comes to these things.
They're efficient in shipping them up here.
Well, but my point is, they're very good at the very things they tell us we shouldn't be good at.
Exactly. That's exactly correct. Now, the one thing I wanted to mention here is I heard about that Haynes guy, and I'm not working right now, and I was trying to get somebody's number, and I couldn't get a hold of you, but I'd like to get the guy's number. There's a lot of American citizens. I'm down here in Oceanside area, down by the Marines and stuff, and I'd be more than happy for something that's life-threatening as this invasion we've been going under to donate some time to this guy if I could get a hold of him.
Well, what I'm
going
to do, Tommy, I'm going to put you on hold, and my producer, Les, will tell you how you can get in touch with him.
There's a lot. Kerry, I wanted to mention one other thing. There's a lot of American citizens that are sick of this and would be willing to help any way we can to get his signatures for something that, especially the border police, that can really start picking these people up and sending them back to Mexico.
I totally agree, Tommy. Let me put you on hold. Les will tell you how to get in touch. Take care, buddy.
Okay, thanks. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Let's go to Lynn calling from the great state of Virginia. Lynn, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hi, Terry. About that coal mining group, you know, I'm right over the line here from West Virginia, and I learned a lot about this mining industry when the 12 miners died.
Yeah, that was a rough time for the folks back there, you know?
Yeah. Was it Horizon Natural in Ashland, Kentucky?
No. It was, I don't have it here. It was, Sydney Coal Company in Coal Run, Kentucky.
Okay, I thought I didn't hear that part. But what is happening is there's a New York billionaire with a company called International Coal Group that is buying all the coal mines in West Virginia and Kentucky that are in bankruptcy or in trouble. And what this man does is he buys these coal mines that are in trouble, and then he builds them up and flips them for a big return.
And the best way to build them up would be to get illegal labor in it. Oh, absolutely.
Right, and these mines are losing their health insurance. They're losing their retirement. They're just losing everything because of the problems in the bankruptcies. And this guy is buying them up right and left. And it's International Coal Group.
So now we know where the quest for cheap labor is coming from.
Exactly. Hmm. And on this one mine he bought in Kentucky, in Ashland, he bought it in bankruptcy, but now he's hoping to raise almost $300 million because he wants it to go public on the New York Stock Exchange.
Unbelievable. Gotta go, Lynn. Thanks for the call. We appreciate the information.
All right.
Take care. Let's go to Scott calling from Las Vegas, Nevada. Scott, what do you hear? What do you say? Not much time.
Hey, Chad, I just wanted to give a shout and say thank you very much again for being on the air. I appreciate it.
Well, it's our pleasure. We're just doing what we can in our little way to get the word out and keep getting it out. I think that's important.
Hey, real quick, since my time is short, I was channel surfing through the morning talk shows and on the McLaughlin Group, which I don't normally watch. They were talking about illegal immigration for the first 10 minutes of the segment. It's only a half-hour show. And it caught my attention. Pat Buchanan was on there. God, I love that guy. He should have been president, not once, but twice. But they're talking about illegal immigration, about the pros, cons, and all this other stuff. But what struck me odd about the whole thing was the fact that it was on the Sunday talk shows, which normally steer away from this. But I guess that it's such a hot item that the number that stuck out that they were talking about was like 9 out of 10 Americans are really concerned about this. And towards the end of the conversation, they were also talking about how the president is trying to push, not illegal immigration policy, but worker amnesty.
Yes, worker amnesty. You know, Scott, it's funny that you mentioned that about the Sunday shows. Look at Tim Russert on Face the Nation, whatever the hell the name of the show is. Not one word. They won't touch it on there for anything. Now, they'll talk about who Dick Cheney shot and how many pellets hit the guy, and, you know, and I could care less. That was a hunting accident. It doesn't affect my life at all, but they will not touch this issue. And if the McLaughlin Group was talking about it, that is good news. Gotta go, Scott. Thanks for the call, buddy. Take care. Let's go to Michael calling from L.A. Michael, what do you hear? What do you say? Not much time.
Hello. Yeah. You know this deal about Bani, you know, they want to buy all our ports?
That's outrageous.
Isn't it?
Outrageous.
Well, that's I think they know they're not going to get, but it's a cover for something else, which is, I think, equally or if not more serious. In the creases and folds, the fine print of some money bill they've got passing through Congress or already passed, they want to change the rate, the percent that foreigners can own of our airlines and our shipping lines. So as of right now, it's 25%. Foreigners can own 25% of an airline or shipping lines. They want to raise it to 49%.
And how does that benefit us as Americans, Michael?
Well, they're just, you know, I mean, obviously.
How does that benefit us? What do we get out of that? That's just amazing, you know?
So you better call their congressman and tell them that you don't want this because this is extremely dangerous. In other words, if they're foreigners owning 49% of our airlines and 49% of our sea.
Unbelievable.
See, so, and they're not talking about this one. They're talking about the one that's used to deflect what they really want to do.
Well, they do a lot of that. Michael, thanks for the call.
Mm-hmm.
Take care. Good information. Let's go to Linda calling from Burbank, California. Linda, what do you hear? What do you say?
Terry, I am beyond my wit's end. I am one of those disabled people on MediMedi where my prescriptions were paid by Medi-Cal. And because of Schwarzenegger making cuts of Medi-Cal prescriptions, I'm one of those people that have to go to Medicare Part D for my prescriptions, and where I would probably have to pay a copay says Medicare because they're saying I'm getting my prescription from Medicare. Medi-Cal doesn't pay for it anymore. And none of this would have happened if Schwarzenegger would have just cut off the illegal aliens or put Prop 27 back into law.
You know, Linda, we don't blame the illegals for every single problem of this country. They always say, oh, you blame them for everything. No, we don't. But if you took the illegal equation out of this country, took them out of the schools, took them out of the job market, just take them off the freeway, look at the problems we would solve. It doesn't solve all the problems, but it would be a good start at solving the problems of this country. Am I correct?
Yeah, you are. And listen to this. Medi-Cal tells me if I don't want to pay a copay, go to Social Security. So they say Social Security is responsible for whether or not I pay any copay. So I go to the Social Security office. I'll call this person over by the window there, a bureaucrat, a Social Security bureaucrat. After a while, I saw I was getting nowhere with her. And so I said out loud, I said to her, I wouldn't be in this predicament if Social Security or Medicare and the government did away with everything bilingual and made it all English only.
What did she say to that?
She said to me, that is a racial statement.
No, it's not.
I am Latino, as if she is proud of it.
Now, you didn't even mention the word Latino, did you?
No, and I said right back to her, I said, my grandmother, for your information, when she was old enough to collect Social Security, they didn't have anything for her in her language. I said, so how'd she get her Social Security? My mother did all the paperwork for her. Someone can't understand English, they can always find a relative or a neighbor to do the paperwork for them.
Did you happen to mention to this woman that she was a stupid broad? Because that's what I would have told her if I'd have been there.
I went to my second point. I said, Ann, I had a friend from Hungary, a Hungarian friend from Hungary, who I met from a bar I hung out at. This was back in the early 90s. And when she told me when she came here, she didn't understand a word of English. How did she learn English? By hanging out at the bar and picking up on the bar talk.
That'll do it. That'll do it, Linda. Every time you want to learn English, hang out at the bar.
And I said to her, so if someone doesn't understand English, they can just hang out at an English speaking environment.
There you go. I gotta go, Linda.
Well, some people can't afford to hang out at bars.
Well, she, like I said,
so
she,
well, they can just sit in front of the boob tube.
Gotta go, Linda. Thanks for the call. That was great. Let's go to Cliff calling from Pasadena. Cliff, what do you hear? What do you say? You got about 30 seconds.
All I have to say is, Terry, that this country has been sold down the river. It is for sale. They have sold it. Politicians will not do it for us. There was plenty of money for the Republicans to overthrow Great Avis, but there's no money for the regular people. It's up to you and me. You must vote against these politicians, whether it's R or D. They all need to go. They're not going to help you. We have to help ourselves.
Well, you're right about that, Cliff. I totally agree. I got to go, buddy. Thanks for the call. Take care. Well said, Cliff. All right, folks, no more calls. I'm going to end the show now. We got to get out of here. Don't forget Jonathan Rose, Capital Gold Group, safestgold.com. The number is 1-800-510-9594. Don't forget our good buddy Rusty Childress at Childress Auto Mall, 22nd Avenue and Camelback in Phoenix. Get your oil change, buy a used car, a new car. He's a good guy. Don't forget This Week with the Swings, two great columns on our website. Illegal Immigration, Chapter 11, and The Grinch Who Stole Anno Domini. Good stuff, folks. Go ahead and read it. I want to thank Mike Reed, Engineer Deluxe, for doing the show tonight, and Les Blinkhorn, my engineer, for taking your, excuse me, my producer, for taking your calls. And I want to remind everybody out there, we do need your help to stay on the air. Please send your donations to the Terry Anderson Show, 3940 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604. The calendars are in, but they are going quickly. If you want one, let us know by sending us some type of... If you donate on PayPal, make sure you let us know you did that so we can send you a calendar. Mark Edwards, Wednesday night at 10 o'clock, I will be on with him. Don't forget those three websites we always talk about, folks, at TerryAndersonShow.com. And don't forget our good buddy Juan Man at DeportAliens.com. And for the up-to-date information on the illegal alien invasion, go to Glenn Spencer's webpage, AmericanPatrol.com. This is Terry Anderson for the All-American Radio Network saying we will be back again next week, as usual, attempting to articulate the popular rage. Good night, folks.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
RBNLive.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.